Good morning. It's good to be back after 11 years. So the last time we were here was 11 years ago. It's been a long time. I was a young, handsome young man then. Okay, now I'm already in my 50s, okay? But it was good. You know, it's a joy and a privilege to be here. Well, we want to thank Pastor Philip, Pastor Irene for inviting us here, to have us here. You know, I'm so looking forward to what God's going to do. You know, sometimes I forgot the intro. Because God really has tremendous things. Now, we've been in the ministry for a long time. We are, just to give some background, we are from Ipoh City in the state of Perak in Malaysia, West Malaysia that is. Okay. As you can see, we are Chinese. Okay. Now, I think, is that enough, the intro? Okay, let's focus on God. Alright, just want to put people at ease that, you know, don't be afraid of the calling. You know, people say, oh, prophets are in the house. They get turned to be like, tremble. They think that the prophet knows everything. Well, we won't know everything unless God shows. Okay, so you're very safe. Okay, you're very safe. And, well, it's not prophet's job to frighten people. We are meant to be a blessing. We are meant to convey what God is saying. You know, this morning we sing what we call an interesting series of songs, which even as we sang those songs, I felt that, you know, the things in those wording is going to come to pass this morning. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's like, for some of you, it's like your prayer is in that song. That's the longing of your hearts in the words of the song that we sang this morning. And that is like, that's what you are looking for. You know, we're going to see the fulfillment of those words in our lives today. Now, each one of you, we all came to church for a different reason, right? We came with different expectation. Now, I want to share something about God to you so that you can understand when you come before Him that God has much to give you. Okay, let me repeat that. God has much to give you. But the problem is, sometimes when we come to church, it's either we have no expectation or we have a very small expectation. Now, Friday night, I said that you hear this phrase all the time that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But I want to bring you one level higher whereby God is God all the time. Period. God is God all the time. You know, you and I, we are born into God's family to experience God as Father. Now, the word is experience. Experience Him. You are born into His family to experience Him. Before that, you were a spiritual orphan. You were fatherless. You didn't have a father. Even if you have an early father, your early father never cared for you. He never nurtured you. But when God saved you and put you in His family, you belong to Him. And His role is to nurture you. Now you can't, God, you see, God cannot nurture you without you experiencing Him as Father. You know, a lot of times when we approach God, we have a call, we approach God in a very fatherless manner. That means that He's God, that's it, end of the story. But no, He's much nearer to you now. You belong to Him. He is your Father. And this entire life that you're living on this world is about experiencing the fatherhood of God. You see, you've got to allow God to be your Father. He may be your Father now, but are you allowing Him to perform His role as your Father? You've got to let Him do His role. He's most willing. But sometimes we have a very narrow definition of what a father should be. Because we usually quantify that with our earthly father. If you have a bad father, God is something like that. But He's not. God is a good God. He's a good Father. You've got to give Him a chance to be God to you. You know, before we go into the midst of the Word, you want to sing? I'm not sure whether you have this song. Do you have a song called You Are God Alone?
Never mind. You know, basically, this song is such a wonderful song. A song that really God uses song to do something in our own hearts. If you don't know this song, it does not matter. You can just listen to this, the wording of the song. Ask God to speak to your heart. Okay? This song is really beautiful. It has done wonderful things in our hearts. This morning, perhaps, you can just close your eyes. Just listen to the wording of the song and talk to the Lord. Okay? Just listen to what God is going to put in your hearts this morning.
Okay. I just want to open you up to the unlimitless move of the Holy Spirit. You see, God can touch you right where you're sitting. Nobody needs to lay hands on you. Nobody needs to pray for you. Okay? Faith is between you and God. You don't need another intermediate. God is your Father. You have direct access to Him. You can approach Him direct. You don't need to go through another person. God can touch you right where you're sitting. You don't have that kind of expectation that, God, I'm here. I'm sitting right here. You know where I am, Lord. You know what's my need. Please come and touch me. That's my expectation. You see, faith is an action. Faith is not a belief system whereby it's stuck here. No. Faith, the nature of faith is expect. Come on, expect. Expect God. God has something for you. You see, you can go back empty-handed or you can go back changed. Expect something. Now, if you don't know the words of the song, just close your eyes, you know. Just open up your heart, your spirit to God, and let Him minister to you. Okay. Ready? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
You are not a God created by human hands.
You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your hands. That's just the way it is. Thank you, Jesus.
You are not a God created by human hands.
You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. Yeah, your plan, that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
You're the only God who stay away. None can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give.
You are God. That's just the way it is.
You are God alone.
From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Changeable, unshakable, unshakable. That's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne.
You are God alone from before time began.
You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Unchangeable,
unshakable,
unstoppable.
That's what you are.
Unchangeable,
unshakable, unstoppable.
That's what you are.
Unchangeable,
unshakable,
unstoppable.
That's what you are.
You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
You are God alone.
From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Thank you, God.
Father, we declare that you reign. And you're seated on the throne in our hearts, O God. Lord, whether it is good times or bad times, you are God alone. And you stay true, O God, to the end. And Father God, you are unchangeable. You are unshakable. And you are unstoppable, O God. Lord, we declare over each and every one of God, of us, O God. Lord, that you are going to move in our hearts. You are going to move in our lives, O God, no matter what. Oh, Lord God, you will never change. Oh, you will never change. Truly, you are God and God alone. This day, oh God, that you will arrest our hearts with this statement. That you are God alone. You reign over our health. You reign over our physical bodies. You reign over our spiritual being. You reign over our mental health, oh God. We declare, oh God, everything that we are going through is under the blood of Jesus. We declare the impact of your blood today. We declare the power of your blood today. Your blood today, oh God, is going to calm every storm. We speak to every storm of life to cease in the name of Jesus. We speak peace to every storm, whether it's on the emotions. We declare right now serotonin levels increase right now in the name of Jesus. We declare the joy of the Lord to come upon us. We declare the strength of our God to be our portion even this day. We declare, oh Jesus, that truly you are God and God alone, oh God. We declare, God, that you will manifest yourself into every heart tonight. This morning, oh God, you are real. And there's no question about it, God. You are real today, oh God. Oh, show yourself strong to us today. Oh, mighty God, we declare every heart right now to be open unto you. Every ear to be open unto you. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, we just ask, God, that you will increase, oh God, in this place. Your presence will increase. Jesus said you'll be seated on the throne room of God. even in our own hearts, oh God. We bless your name this day. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There was a situation that we went through a couple of months ago. And this situation pressed me on to the presence of God. I came into a place where I said, God, I need you to show me how to answer this brother who is just questioning the reality of the Holy Spirit. I am so jealous over God. It's like, you know, he and me, we are partners together. He and me, we are friends together. And I was so consumed with this question of wanting to prove God to a brother who is a Christian, but yet he had not experienced the reality of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we can get so jealous of our God in certain areas, and that's a good jealousy. Are you here with me? Yeah, really quiet here. And that's a good thing to have. And I was pacing up and down the room, and I was talking to the Lord. I said, God, how am I going to answer him? How am I going to tell him that you are real? How am I going to prove to him? I can't prove him to you. I mean, I can't prove you to him. Sometimes, you know, when you get excited, the words just go a little bit. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart very clearly. And he said this, I don't need his permission to be the Holy Spirit. I don't need his permission to be the Holy Spirit. Which means, with or without his understanding or ability to grasp, God is God. God is God. And oh, when the Lord put that in my heart, it brought much sweetness into my spirit, man. And I felt the peace of God came upon my heart. Whatever that was ruffling me, left me. This morning, God's peace wants to become resident in your heart. That nothing that you go through needs to shake the very peace that God has put in your heart. And I remembered a week later, I've just started learning to play the piano. So it's different from Brother Nigel. Okay? But I started to play the piano. I started to play this song. And I started to worship the Lord. Oh, wow. The presence of God came upon me. And the Lord just did something to my heart. I was just sobbing my heart out. The reality of God. It was like I had an encounter with God. That encounter with God, it was not just a one-time encounter. The Lord started to do something in my heart. But after that, we started to sing this back home. With a few people that we have, we started to sing. We started to worship the Lord with that. Again, the same presence of God came. It was an awesomeness of God. This morning, we sang about the song, "You are awesome in this place, mighty God." I believe that is an awesomeness of God that's here right now. The awesomeness of God came upon me whenever we worshiped the Lord and even at home. And the Lord was doing something in my heart. He was just exploding. He was just, when I use the word exploding, that means I could not contain him on the inside of me. You know, it was like the presence of God was just overwhelming me. So much so. So much so that when the presence of God came in that manner, I knew God was bringing us into something new. Now, let me say this to each one of us here. No matter how long you have been a Christian or you're seeking to know God in a personal way, I believe, first of all, God wants you to have encounter with him in your heart. Because that which is so crucial to us is our hearts. You know, we use our hearts to know people. We don't use our mind to know people. We use our hearts to relate to people. And our God is a personal God. And he wants us to relate to him even with our hearts. Not so much with our minds. And so it's like when God begins to touch us, he touches us on the deep inside of us in our hearts. Okay? It's in our hearts that God begins to touch us. And so during those times when I would begin to worship the Lord, the Lord began to bring in dimensions of His presence, dimensions of His Spirit that was so real, that was deep. God wants to touch us very deep, right into the core issue of our very being. Our God is not a God just in the general. You know, sometimes we ask people, oh, how are you? Before you can say, I'm fine, or I'm going through something, the person has gone away. Isn't it true? When I first went to England to do my nursing, I was not used to this. How are you? When I ask, how are you? I really want to know, how are you? But when people ask me, how are you? Before I could answer, you know, they move on. And I was thinking to myself, this is not real. This is not real. Now, we live in a society that, you know, as the days go by, the world becomes darker. People become more and more selfish, isn't it? More and more self-centered. And therefore, people don't have time for each other. And as a result of that, many times it is like we are just scraping the surface. But our God is a God that is a deep personal God. That means He cares not just only about the general things of your life. Not about the daily things of your life. It's more than that. He cares about every single details of your life. The more you begin to know Him in a deeper and in a personal way, the more He is going to shape your life. He is going to do things in your life that is way beyond your understanding. And He's going to take you into an adventure in Him. And this adventure, I would call it a journey. A journey, a walk of faith in God, whereby you are going to encounter God. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 this morning. God wants you to encounter Him. God wants you to meet with Him. God wants you to catch hold of Him. I use this phrase a lot on a Friday. Catch God. Catch. Now, this is very interesting. What do I mean by catch? Are you going to catch Him by person? The presence of God is tangible, but yet you can't catch Him in person. You can. But you can catch Him in your heart. You can let Him arrest you. That's what I mean. God wants to arrest your heart and God wants to arrest my heart, because along our journey, God wants to speak to us things that are important for us. He wants to give us a paga encounter. That means at certain intersections of our lives, God wants to meet with us. The meeting with God is so important, because this meeting with God is going to change our lives. Our God is after change in us. The fact that God is after change in us is because He loves us. The plans of God are always bigger and better than us, than what we know. Okay? The plans of God are always bigger. Sometimes we are so afraid to let go of something because we are not too sure what is ahead. Uncertainties. Sometimes we are not too sure whether our future is going to be better than what we are going through now. Even though we may be suffering and God may be telling us to let go, we may still be struggling because we are not too sure. You know what? You want to know what is going on in your future? Look at the Bible. The Word of God will tell you. The book of Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are not for calamity, but they are for a future and for a hope. Now, those words are very promising. Those words are very assuring. Sometimes we can listen to the Word of God or read the Word of God, but it seems to be so far off. It does not seem to hit a note in our hearts. Because of fear, because of unbelief, perhaps because of rejections that we have gone through in our own lives that have not yet been dealt with. We need closures. It's important that each one of us must have closures in our lives. On Friday, I touched a little bit about that. You know, when we don't have closures in our lives, there can be things left dangling in our lives for a long, long, long time. And because of those things that are dangling, that means it has not been completely dealt with, not been completely closed up, we have not perhaps been completely healed. We can go on, we can grow older, but we might carry those baggages of the past into the present. Okay? And so God wants to arrest our hearts at different points in our lives, because each time we encounter Him, there will be deeper depths of healing. There will be deeper depths of knowing God in the way that perhaps you and I will not know. Those encounters with God are so beautiful and so precious. The Word of God comes alive. The Word of God comes alive. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, it says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the bush, out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And God said to him in verse 5, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And in verse 7, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people that are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I'll just stop for here. Most of us will know the story about Moses. How, even in his natural birth, when his mom gave birth to him, they have to actually give him away. They have to actually hide him, because his life was in danger. Do you know that you and I have a destiny in God? Our destiny in God is so important, because it is in that place of our destiny in God that God is going to shape our future. That God is going to shape our lives. That God is going to shape our future. And that the future is a good future. But the devil's strategy is always to try to kill the life of God within us. On a Friday, I mentioned how the devil will try to steal the voice of God within. Because when we can't hear the voice of God, okay, we won't be able to live. Inside of us, we can die. We go through situations, we come to a place where we can give up. Every one of us have gone through trials, have gone through times of difficulties. And there are times we can only hold on to a certain time. And then we can't anymore, we snapped. But by the grace of God, God keeps us in Him. He holds us up in the midst of the circumstances and the situations, no matter how tough it is. God will speak to us through the Word of God. He will quicken us through the Word. He will speak to us. He will drop something into our spirit man. And that Word will be the anchor of our soul. That Word will be the very Word that is going to take us on in that journey, no matter how difficult that we go through. That Word is going to sustain us. When God speaks, we come alive. When God speaks, things begin to happen. When God speaks, everything on this earth will have to bow down to the name of Jesus. When God speaks, God is in control. When God speaks, God brings into alignment every circumstances so that it can come into the obedience to the will of God. When God speaks to us, something happens. Moses, by this time, he was no longer that young. When he was a young man, he had all the natural strength. He had all the natural degrees. But when it comes to the things of God, it's not what we really know that matters. It's the encounter of God, what God puts on our spiritual being, what God puts in us that is going to thoroughly equip us. What God put in us that is going to cause us to know Him in such a way that we have not known Him before. And so Moses, by this time, after running, and he came into a place where he left all the comforts that he had, and he came into the place of the desert. Sometimes God takes us on a journey which we do not understand. Life is a journey. If you feel that your life is too tough, let me assure you, there are many more people who have gone through tougher things than you and I. It's true. Whether it is good times or bad times, God has a reason. And God has lessons for us to learn. God has things that He wants to put on the inside of us that can only be accomplished when we go through some of those tough journeys. Tough times will make us to be tough people. That we will begin to have the resilience of God inside. I used to say this. I said, Lord, you make me stretchable, bendable, pliable, durable, extendable. All the bubble. Because at that time, I was feeling so stretched. And looking back, I said, thank you, Lord, for all the good times and all the bad times. It has been good. So Moses came into the place where he started to feed lead the flock to the backside of the desert. This was part of his job now. He was no longer in the palace. He was no longer in a place of great distinction, but now he was in a desert place. Such a comparison. But yet in a place of desert, God has an appointment for him. Now I want to assure you in this. In whatever desert places of your life, God has a divine appointment for you. Whatever desert experiences, that means the experience, not the experience of the bush in Perth, but experience of going through tough times in your lives, experience of being stretched, perhaps in your faith, being stretched perhaps in your finances, perhaps being stretched in your emotions. Your emotions have been tried and fried, I call it. Sometimes we go through the trying and the frying together. But as long as God is in the picture, we will not be smelling like a burning bush, okay? We will come away from those times. And people have no idea what you and I have gone through. And we must begin to see a beautiful picture of what the Lord has done. It's true. And it's so precious. So Moses came to the backside of the desert and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And then the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of the fire, out of the midst of a bush. Now it's very interesting. I doubt many of us have seen the burning bush of God in our lives. I doubt many of us would see that. Perhaps maybe God might suddenly appear like that. I think most of us will run away. Because this is not the norm, isn't it? But somehow there are aspects of God that God wants to give us encounter. It may not be a burning bush of that nature. But there will be distinct situations that we will go through in our lives that you know and you know and you know that God meets with you right there and then. He meets with you. This year has been an incredible year, which I really am so grateful to the Lord. Many, many, many months ago, I kept on hearing the voice of the Lord speaking this to me. The voice. I said, oh God, what is it about the voice? Sometimes you're not quite sure. It's all right to ask God questions. Okay? It's all right to ask God questions. And then I began to receive a lot of emails talking about the voice. It was like somebody just started this website and he was talking about the voice. I said, okay, Lord, I begin to understand. Things are coming into place. Sometimes it's like we know a little. We don't know the full picture. And then God brings another part in. And then we begin to see clearer. Then another part in, we begin to see clearer. And the Lord was burning His message in my heart. And He started to say this, I am going to restore my voice back to the church. Now back in Malaysia, a couple of months ago, we had the election. I know over here in Australia, you recently had election. You know, whenever there is election, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on in the nation. Because demonic spirits are contending for the destiny of nations. And I believe believers play a major role is shaping the destiny of a nation, not only through prayer, but through voting with the right insights. It's important that you must vote knowing what you're voting and who you're voting. And so Malaysia was going through a time of the general election, and the realm was what you call it, murky. Because the different ones were consulting in witchcraft, they consulted in witches, they were doing the hocus pocus, and the realm was dark. But it was during those times that God began to put His voice into the church. Many pastors, many ministers, many Christians began to arise. They began to recognize that if believers do not carry the voice of God and speak forth what God had put in them, then the nation is going to be in doom. Now the same thing happens for each one of us here. God wants to restore His voice in you so that you will know the voice of God within you. You will know between what is right and what is wrong. You will know between what is the will of God and what is not the will of God. You will know what is the mind of Christ, because that's important. When you know what God is saying, when you know what God wants to do, you will come alive. So guard this part of your life jealously. Never allow anything that you go through to steal the voice of God within you. And it was during those times when the Lord began to put that word into me, the voice. I also took it literally because I felt the Lord was saying to me, I am going to restore my voice in you and my voice through you 100%. When I used the word 100%, it was because during those years, I had gone through persecution and I became intimidated. I came into the place where I said, I might as well keep quiet. Any one of you have gone through times when you say, I might as well keep quiet? Yeah? Put up your hands, please. Okay, there are quite a number of you. Now, let me say that whenever you decide to keep quiet, you fall into the enemy's trap. Yep, you fall into the enemy's trap. God wants to put His voice in you and He wants you to speak on His behalf. He wants you to declare the things that you hear in the Spirit. Declare it forth. Shout it forth from the rooftop. But please don't go off the roof of the church and shout it. He wants you to shout it out because the voice of the Lord in you is like a voice that cries in the wilderness, declaring the mind of the Lord. As you speak forth what God puts in your heart, things are going to take place. Right from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you see again and again the strategy of the enemy is to really shut out the voice of the people of God. Centuries upon centuries, decades upon decades. In every move of God, God restores His voice to the church. That's the heart of God. And we need to speak because where the church is silent, the world will become very loud. We need to speak. But we must have those continual encounters with God so that we become fresh in the presence of God. Sometimes we come into the place where we become so stale. I remember a few years back praying for a lady. And she said, you know, I feel like I'm an old stale. No, she said this. I feel like I'm a stale bread. Have you seen a stale bread? It's moldy. So, because I know her very well, okay, I got a little bit cheeky. Is that permissible? Okay. And I turned around to her and I said this. You're not just a stale bread, but you're old stale bread. She's not old physically, but her insight, because she had not had the encounter with God and she was just reminiscing on those good old days. The danger of the good old days is that we keep on looking back to the past. We forget that we must look forward. Every encounter with God is going to cause us to look forward to what God has. The good old days is not good enough because the best is yet to come. Okay? Now, in this time of Moses in the Bible, he needed an encounter with God and God knew how to meet with this man. He was a man that was truly polished in every area. He knew many things. But yet, there was one thing that he needed, was the encounter with God. The Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. That encounter with God arrested him. That encounter with God prepared him for what was ahead. In every moment of our lives, whenever we encounter God, part of our flesh will die. Our desires will go off, and God begins to bring about an alignment. His desire becomes our desire. His vision becomes our vision. He begins to raise us up to another level. He begins to show us what is ahead of us, the future. Yes, we may still be a little bit afraid because the future we don't really know completely. God won't show us a complete picture. But all He requires from us is obedience, step by step. Step by step. I really thank God that He has got so much wisdom. Had He shown us everything, I think most of us will run. But He will only reveal to us step by step. You obey, He shows you the next step. You obey, He shows you the next step. But if you don't obey and you keep on saying, what is it, Lord? Why, God? Why, God? You won't be able to understand. Because it's only in obedience God will unfold His promises. It's only in obedience God will prepare us for that which is ahead of us. Okay? Now, why do we need an encounter with God? Number one is to stay fresh in God. Because we cannot afford to come into the place where we feel that we have got all of God. We know everything about Him already. None of us will ever come to that place of knowing everything about God. We won't. But it is true that continuous walk with God, that encounter with God, the touch of God that is going to do things in our hearts, that is going to keep our hearts pliable. Pliable. You know, the greatest fear is this, when our hearts become hardened. When our hearts are hardened, you know, you try to imagine certain parts, I don't know how you call it. Perhaps you take some plaster, a wall plaster or something like that. When it becomes so hard, it can just break in pieces, especially when it is not made of the right properties inside. You imagine something hard, but you imagine that it cracks up on the inside. Okay? Now, that's how it is also with us. When our hearts are hard, we will crack up. We won't be able to hear what God is saying. When our hearts are hard, okay, God has to remove the heart of stone from us and put within us a heart of flesh, a heart that is going to be sensitive to God, a heart whereby we can beat that with the heartbeat of God. If we are to make a difference in the times that we live, we must have God's heartbeat. I want to challenge each one of us here. Be a reformer for the Lord. Which means, be one that God is going to move in you. You become so fluidity in Him. That means you become so versatile. You are just there allowing God to shape you and mold you. And if it's like, I'm going to give example, okay? It's like, say for example, you have water. If God desires to put this water into a cup, you will be shaped like a cup. If He desires you to be like a pipe, He put you in a pipe, you'll be shaped like a pipe. You understand what I'm saying? I don't really know how to describe what I'm seeing, but that's what I'm seeing inside. Okay? If He wants you to be like a flower pot, He put the water into the flower pot and you'll be shaped like a flower pot. What I'm saying is that versatility. Okay? You let the Holy Spirit flow in you. That you become so versatile. Whatever He wants to do in your life, whatever He wants to shape in your life, you know you're going to be a beautiful piece, a picture in the eyes of God. He's going to make something beautiful out of your life. No matter what you've gone through in time past, no matter what your past says about you, that's not important. The most important thing is that you must not only allow Jesus Christ to save you, you must allow Him to live on the inside of you. He must allow Him to shape you on the inside. You must allow His fire to come upon you so that you become a reformer for the Lord. One that will not conform to the society, but one that will be transformed into the image of Christ. And you will carry Christ. You will carry His voice right into the marketplace and into the church. When I use a marketplace, that's not the place where you buy fish and vegetables. That means right where you are working, you are going to be an influencer for the kingdom of God. God will come and visit you. And right in the place of your working place, you carry the presence of God. Things will begin to happen in your working place. Why not? It can be. I used to be a nurse before. I was trained. I went to England for training as a nurse. For 3 years I was there. I was only, you know, in England they call it the youngins. I was very young, between 20 to 23. Okay? I was young, fresh, but one thing I had a fresh encounter with God. I was so zealous for the Lord. When patients were in sickness and in pain, when no one is observing, I will pray in tongues. I will lay hands and pray in tongues. Because I know the reality of God that can comfort. And then when the sisters found out that I'm a Christian then, because I started to get involved with the Nurses Christian Fellowship, putting up posters and all that, they were just observing me, but I was not creating problems. But when my patients were in deep pain and morphine could not take off the pain from my patients, I would hold on to my patients and say, "Can I pray for you?" This was a radical Christian then. I still am very radical. I would not do things like the norm because I would just allow the Holy Spirit to flow in me and to flow through me. I held on to my patients. I prayed for her. And then after praying, I felt I needed to sing in the Spirit to bring in the presence of God. I sang in the Spirit. The presence of God came. My dear little patient was so comfortable until she slept in my arms. And it was lovely. It was not just that comfort, you know, but it was the presence of the Lord. Now, you and I carry God's presence. Whatever the circumstances, usher in His presence right in your circumstances, even in the workplace. It's the encounter of God that's going to make a difference. It's the encounter of God that is going to cause you to carry His presence. It's the encounter with God that you're going to speak the right thing at the right time. Bringing the reality of Christ in. My mom went home to be with the Lord at the age of 85. In the last few months of her life, because she was so sickly, she had been a Christian for many years, but she had never encountered God. Her long desire was to know that Jesus hears her prayer. Just wanting to know. Wanting to know the reality of Jesus being there. And she was so sickly, she lost the joy of the Lord. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Watch your joy level. You lose your joy, you will lose your strength. Watch your joy level because the devil is trying to steal joy. Okay? When you are joyful on the inside, the joy of the Lord will break that spirit of depression. When you're joyful, your serotonin level is a hormone enhancer. Okay, on the inside, you cannot substitute it by Prozac. It's going to make you more depressed. All right? Is it okay? I speak a little bit of medical term here. Okay? The joy of the Lord will do something in you. She was going through depression. She was going through so much pain. She was practically dying. And I was nursing her and I looked at her and I was in so much pain on the inside. But I said, "God, you got to give an encounter with you before you take her home. Otherwise, I don't think I can handle that. I don't think she can handle it too. She has enough pain, you have to come in." So I played a game with her. Now, I took it a little bit further. You know, when people got a little bit old, I don't know about what will happen to us when we get a little bit old. I pray that we'll be very, very joyful. We'll be laughing away all the time. So I told my mom, I said, "Mom, you don't always say, 'Oh Jesus, I have this pain, I have that pain, I have this sickness, I have that sickness.'" I said, "Don't pray like that, He already knows. Let's do it like that." I said, "Jesus, you are my joy. I take from you your joy. I take from you your strength. I take from you your healing." And then I said, "The next thing I want you to do, laugh." And at first she said, "That's so funny. I'm going to offend Jesus." You see, sometimes we have this idea that we must always be. Okay? Now, there's a place and time to be solemn. There's a time and place to really take hold of God and allow God to manifest Himself. I was not helping God, but I was helping my dear mom, whose faith was very little then. So I said to her, come on, let's do it together. Jesus, I take your joy. Jesus, I take your strength. Then I said, okay, let's laugh. So we would have laughing sessions. She forgot how to laugh because of all the pain. Was I helping the Holy Spirit? I was not helping the Holy Spirit. I was helping my mom to catch hold of God. Do I think that God will be offended? No, I don't believe that God will be offended. So every day she would do this as and when she felt depressed. Now those of you who are feeling a little bit depressed, take hold of this. This is an answer for you. Because you have got to come to take hold of God. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. Okay? But you've got to lift up your spirit man to take hold of Him. So my mom would do that every now and then. We would have sessions together and we would laugh. And one day, I was a little bit tired. That was after a few months. Actually, every day I'd be working with her on this. And I would be so tired because every night I was sleeping about 2 or 3 hours. That was all I could sleep because of her condition. So that afternoon, I remember I was feeling tired and I went out to the hall. Both of us just started to talk a little bit. Because we gave my mom a bell, a cowbell. Whenever she needed me, she would ring the cowbell. She was too weak to stand up on her own and all that. And then we heard something drop, the cowbell drop. So both of us ran. We thought she fell down. When we ran into the room, the books was down, the cowbell was down. So I said, Mom, what happened? So I went to her. And then she said, do you know, just now I prayed, I did all that you tell me to do. And before I could start laughing, suddenly, she said, I felt the joy of the Lord hitting my spirit. She didn't know how to explain, hitting me here. And I started to laugh. I started to laugh, and now I know what the joy of the Lord is. I said, you've got it. You've got it. You've got it. I said, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is the encounter. And then she said, not only that, last night when you started to pray with me, you had me repeat the prayer that you prayed. Suddenly, I felt Jesus. I felt somebody, she said at first, was like someone sat down next to me, and they listened to what we were praying. And just now I was praying on my own. The same thing happened. Can this be Jesus? I said, definitely it's Jesus. It's not any other ghost, but the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus. That encounter with God. God gave her the desires of her heart. That encounter with God brought much peace in her heart. You see, we need something of God that is tangible. That is going to set a seal in our hearts. That is going to cause us to know, yes, God, you are here. Because, you see, the things of God, they are tangible. They are real. God wants to manifest Himself in such a way that the reality of the Word of God jumps up to our spirit man. Like God can be touched. The reality of God. Whenever you minister to an elderly person, try what I said just now. Try it out, especially when someone has been sick for a long time. Losing the joy of the Lord is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing for someone elderly or someone sickly to have faith in God. Because at that time, sometimes they come into the place where it's like as if they have lost the reality of God. Ask God to give you creativity. How to bring the person back into the reality of God. I was desperate for my mom. I just didn't know what to do. And the Lord just put that into our hearts. Let's play with her. It started with a play, but it became a big reality. And when she went on home to be with the Lord, we actually took pictures of her on the phone camera. Click, click, and she went off to be home with the Lord. And the eyelid was shut so tight, it's like you can put a dental floss, just one line. The peace of God was there for 2 weeks. Now, let me just say this. When God gives us an encounter with Him, that encounter with Him will be something tangible, something that can be proven, something that will not come against the Word of God, but it will be confirmed by the Word of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not bondage. If we are bound up, God is not in the picture. But there was a liberty. She started to praise God. She started to worship God. She came alive. Her faith was restored back to her. But whatever your situation may be, cry out to God for an encounter. Sometimes we pray for people and there don't seem to be anything that takes place. Check out whether the person is truly born again or not. Because if they're not born again, they won't be able to feel God. Or sin can block out a person from feeling God. Check it out. Or maybe somewhere along our walk with God, we have gone weary. We have come into the place where we have taken God for granted. And so the encounter with God will bring us back to the place that we have lost. Okay? So Moses had the encounter with God. He saw the bush that was burning with fire, and yet the bush was not consumed. And then in verse 4, the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, and God called him out of the midst of the bush and said to him, Moses, Moses. God knows us by name. You know, when God gives us encounter with Him, it is like God is telling us, I know what you are going through right now. I know what you need right now. No one word of God can just dispel all the negative thoughts that we have. Just one word with God, one encounter with God. That's all it takes. One touch of God. In the New Testament, when it comes to John the Baptist, let me just search for the scripture. In the New Testament, when it came to John the Baptist, we find that John the Baptist had the encounter with God. He was so filled up with the presence of God in such a way that the Word of God consumed him. Now, when you and I have an encounter with God, God's Word will begin to burn in our hearts. God's Word will come into the place whereby the Word of God not only burns in our hearts, we will carry His message. Okay? Just now I mentioned about being carry the reformation power of the Lord on the inside of us. That means we will not be conformed to our society, but we will allow the Word to transform us. We will allow God to bring forth a message out of our hearts, even to the society. And that is very important. We find that in the John the Baptist type, okay, when I use word John the Baptist type, we know that he was a cousin of Jesus. We know that John the Baptist, he was conceived out of the Spirit of God. We know that John the Baptist was kind of different. He carried the message of God. He was different from all the others. He was rough. He was not a refined man. But yet there was something burning in him. It was the Word of God that burned in him. He had the encounter with God that was so real. And his message was one that was cutting. His message was one that brought in repentance. His word, his favorite word is this: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's John the Baptist. How would you like to meet someone every day and this person's greeting to you is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Okay? The first thing is repent, repent, repent. That was John the Baptist. And people didn't like what he preached. People didn't like it. It was like as if he came at such a time in the history of the Bible. He came at such a time when the people needed to hear that message to return back to God. That was the dark ages prior to that before. And so it was like a voice crying out in the wilderness. A voice that came forth out of the wilderness. How would you like to stay in the bush area? For years, you don't see anybody except the kangaroos. You hear nobody's voice except the kangaroos. And I don't know what other... Do you have magpie here? You do, right? I remember last time our friend here, Sue. Was it Sue? I don't know who took us to the bush. And said, you know, you be careful of a magpie because it might just come around and just like that on your eyes. Just be careful. Okay? How would you like staying in a place where you see nobody except animals? It will be difficult for us to speak. After a while, you just don't want to speak anymore. We might make animal sounds. Okay? We might make animal sound. John the Baptist, he carried the voice of God in the wilderness. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. He cried the cries of God. He cried the what was in God's heart. He carried the heart of God. I encourage each one of us here. If we are hungry for God, we won't be in a status quo. If you're not hungry for God, you will be so comfortable in right where you are. You will become a traditionalist. You will become a cessationist. One that don't believe that God is still moving today. And so you live your Christian life as it is, but you're not challenged in any way. But if you're hungry for God, you will press in. And not only will you press in, you will have encounter with God, and God will put His voice in you. You have the voice of God. You have the voice of God for this generation. God wants to put His voice in you for the people group that you are mixing with, that you're working with. He wants His voice to come through in you and through you right where you are. On a Friday, I had a vision of you guys over here. I had a vision that y'all were spending a lot of time in the beach. And some of you were serving. And I had no idea. I kept it to myself first, I said, you know. But when we went back, I spoke to Irene. I said, any of the guys that do serving or spending a lot of time in the beach? She was thinking. Eventually, she said, yes, as in Daniel, right? And Daniel has that. Now, I want to encourage you in this. The people that you see at the beach, you have the voice of God over you, over the people that you speak, over the people that you get to know in the beach area. Okay? That means, it's like I saw that you were so casually talking to them, but you were casually bringing out Jesus to them. I use the word casually. That means no threat. Just easy going. Just easy going. But when you started to speak, that was that zeal, that was that life of God that was coming forth. And you were speaking things that you had no understanding of. You were even talking about things that those people were going through. Now, it's amazing. It was so real when I saw that vision. But I wanted to be sure before I would say it out. Now, you know, God wants us to speak wherever we are. It's like as if He's going to borrow our mouth and His voice is going to come through. And the supernatural is going to be so natural that you will just walk in it without you realizing. You will start to talk to people and suddenly you might be talking about the secrets in people's heart because you are hungry for God. Because you have an encounter with God. The Word of God comes alive. And even, you know, for this sister, when you pray, you are praying many answers. You are praying many things. Many times you are praying the answers that people have been crying out to God for because you're a woman who knows how to touch the heart of God. And because you know how to touch of God, you know how to touch the heart of God, God's voice comes through you. God's voice comes through you and that love and that compassion will continue to flow. You see, for each and every one of us, even for that brother over there that is sitting down comfortably, there's you over there. That's you. Okay? Is that even in your countenance, there is that serenity, there is that peace that you carry on the inside. And people will be drawn to you on the simple fact that seeing you as a father figure, one that a person will find stability, one that people will find being comfortable. That's how God is going to, you know, that's how God is going to use you, even to minister to people. Sometimes it's not two words that you speak. Just carrying Christ on the inside of you, that encounter with God. For some of us, God will touch us more dramatically. For some of us, it will be very gentle. Okay? It's not the manifestation that we are looking for. It's the encounter. And we, you know, it's like deep inside our hearts, we cry to God, God, you give me an encounter where right in where what I'm doing, you meet with me. Like I mentioned on a Friday, there was one day I was just pacing up and down in the house, doing things, getting ready to come, and yet talking to the Lord. Suddenly, God caught my attention and He said, I am God. That's all, three words. I am God. God caught my attention. And something happened on the inside of me. Whenever God touches me, I cry a lot. And that's good in God's presence. God just touched me so deep. And that assurance, I am God. I felt, it was like I met up with the Lord. The 2 weeks before I came, because those 2 weeks were the greatest struggle. I had some health issues and the enemy was trying to have a go at me. But God touched me so deeply, that deep encounter with God. This morning when I was talking to the Lord about this meeting this morning, I felt such awesomeness of God, such deep, deep peace that rested in my heart. And I believe this morning there is that awesomeness of God here. That deep, deep, deep peace of God that has come upon many hearts. God is wanting to assure you, right where you are seated, no matter what you are going through, if you are going to allow God to touch you in a way and dimension that you have not known Him before. If you dare to embrace God, I use the word embrace, because sometimes we can have God doing, but we may not be embracing Him. But if you dare to embrace God in your heart, in all the totality of God, that means there will be things that you may not understand. I don't understand everything about God. I don't. But I say, God, I want you to touch me. Whenever I experience God's touch deep inside, I have a deep assurance. I am no longer afraid. Because no matter how many times we preach, there is still that fear of God. I need you to put your finger in. I need you to manifest yourself. I need you to be there. Because my assurance is not of the flesh. I've got to allow God to really come in. I must experience Him in that way. Because I know that when God is present, just one touch of God is more than anything else. Let's just stand this morning.